start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists. Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. Every Whinging Wednesday, we give you our hot takes on the week's news stories, play games, and respond to what you, our listeners, have to say.
First, we're going to play a little bit of a game inspired by the week's news. Specifically, we're going to be responding to the BBC's announcement that they're going to be quitting CBBC, which, if you don't know, it's not the children's channel of the BBC, but it's like the kind of, I was going to say young adults. That's quite the phrase. No, it's kind of the, I suppose like 5 to 13 is probably their age range-ish. But anyway, it's been a big part of all of our lives on the podcast, and we thought it was worthwhile giving it a bit of attention because we think that it's, you know, a disgrace that they're going to be cutting this channel. So, yeah, I'm going to hand the podcast over to Sian to lead us in a... Sian's doing a grasping gesture.
Yeah, so we're going to get... Well, I'm going to get some theme tunes from some of our favourite shows from CBBC from over the years. And I'm going to, I'm not sure if I should say sing. I'm
How
going
are you
to
feeling?
Say some of the lyrics. And
oh.
Yeah, we're going to see if Kathleen and Brandon know what the theme tune is from, like what show. So yeah, that could be fun. Okay. I'm starting with what I believe to be an easy one. So we'll see.
Okay. Oh God.
Hey, so when you know it, just shout out.
Do you want to get a buzzer? Brandon, have you got a buzzer?
Oh. Damn, what would he...
We should fundraise for buzzers.
We need some buzzers.
If you donate £2.50 to the Left Wingers, Kathleen can get a buzzer.
We should set up a Buy Me a Coffee website.
Buy me a buzzer.
Oh, God, no. That's a whole different type of
that's not okay.
Online content.
Right, yeah. First one. Okay, just say it when you know it. Right. Every day when you walk in...
Yep, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm on it. Yep, that's easy.
Oh,
easy peasy. It's Arthur.
Well done.
That's easy.
Classic.
That's easy.
Go.
But you know, can I just say something about Arthur? Great show.
Yeah.
Great introduction. But I don't know if people have noticed this, and this is something that I've reflected on. Whenever he wears headphones, they're never on his ears.
That is true.
So they come over his ears, but his ears are at the top of his head, not where our ears would be. So I think that they didn't think that through. But the rest of it, very good.
Oh, maybe they did think it through and they thought it was funny. Which I think is the most...
Yeah, but how would the headphones be if they were on top of your head? Would they just be like resting on the ears?
Maybe it's just
maybe
for
fashion.
Maybe
they're like ear warmers.
Maybe it's just for fashion. Maybe. Arthur knows the style. And yeah, oh, I loved Arthur.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as well. Okay, on to the next one. Let's go for, okay, another fairly simple one.
Oh.
But we're gonna hitch it up a bit after this.
Okay.
Okay, so, incoming loads of drums. Terrible tune is gorgeous. George and Slammy Stewart.
Yeah.
Horrible histories.
Obviously horrible histories.
Oh, has to be so good.
10 out of 10.
Another win. Well done.
But I like how instead of doing like the kind of, you just went, loads of drums.
Yes, because that's what I do.
So just for the Left Wingers listener, that Sian actually pitched this like she would originally sing all of this. And what it's now turned out is she just tells us part of the instrument.
Picture it.
Because I'm
there are drums.
So embarrassed of myself.
Imagine it. So good.
I couldn't really be a history student and not like horrible histories. Like, it's just fabulous. Many series of a show that I regularly refer to because it's just amazing.
I mean, but you're just probably one of millions who watched that show and then took an interest in history. And I think actually that show more than almost any other has put young kids onto reading and understanding history. And that's always a good thing, isn't it?
So, fun fact, my tutor who does my specialist subject, which is in Aztec history, was actually the person who they referred to when coming up with the Aztec. I can't remember what the actual name of the segment was, but she's the person that they referred to.
Awesome Aztec?
Yeah, I think it was Awesome Aztec.
Yeah, yeah. She was used in consultations for that, which is fun fact.
That's so
which
cool.
I love that.
That's really cool. What a life goal to be consulted.
Brilliant. I love that. Okay, another one. This one, not sure if you'll get the theme tune though, so let's go. I say that and then you'll get it. I can make my world come true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Easy. I'm all of that one. Okay, so to be fair, Sean did let us onto that one because it was on the WhatsApp this week. It was on the group WhatsApp. Yeah. So it's obviously the Tracy Beaker show.
Well, Tracy Beaker's story, I think, if we're going to be sticklers.
I think it's the story of...
I'm really embarrassed now.
So I was like, I think, which she actually knows, she's trying to be polite.
I actually do know.
She's like, no, it is. I was like, classic, like, women in activism, just being like, oh, I think it's this, but like, no, you know it's that, so just say that you know it's that.
Sorry, everyone. It makes me feel uncomfortable because, like, the actress that played has got two kids now.
Oh,
didn't they do like a return thingamajig?
They did do. I never watched it. They did. They definitely did with Danny Harmer.
Harmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Let's make this one the last one. So it's got to be really difficult, Sean. You got to pull it from right at the back of your memory banks.
Fine. Okay. Right. I think I know what I'm gonna do, but. It's kind of an unusual theme. We'll see if you get it. This is not a fairy tale. Come and play the game. If you want to take the tower on, you'll have to save
it. I know this one.
Trapped.
Oh, well such done. A good one.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
will. I appreciate it.
Well done, you got 4 out of 4.
Woo!
That was really good.
That was really good.
Yeah,
I really appreciated the mix of kind of humming and then like instruction. Like it was good. I really liked it. I appreciated that.
Okay, hang on. So I feel like Sean's ones are really good, but what I thought was interesting was the fact that I knew all of them and we're different generation/age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really interesting. But
I'm glad about that.
But there's some that I feel like you never watched. There's
go
some
on,
like,
give it.
Okay, I'm
out.
Just going to throw it out. Ka-ching.
No, sorry.
Yeah, it was good. So that was about kid trying to become a .com billionaire, which was quite cool. And then Raven.
Oh yeah, Raven.
Raven.
Yeah. Okay, can I just say, I knew that last round, like the bit at the very, very end. I don't think I could have made it to the very, very end, but if I had got to the very, very end, I watched that show so many times that I knew exactly what to do. All the contestants on the show made the same mistakes every time. And that always, as like a 7-year-old, I was like, they made the same mistakes. Every time it's the same thing. They just don't duck on the third bit. You've got to duck on the third bit. Just don't. Anyway, it's just another thing. Like, 7-year-old me was like, why don't these people understand?
Just for any of our listeners who might not be familiar with Raven, you know, one, where have you been? But Kathleen, would you like to give a bit of a basic rundown on what that show was about?
Okay, Raven, this... actor is one man with black hair and a Scottish accent carrying the show, right? And he transformed into a raven, but also had this very long cloak and a little scarf. And these kids, little kids, had to go through several challenges made up of physical tasks and also poetry.
I don't think you've actually cleared it up.
No, but it's like a game show. But it's also... what it is? This is a game show. You're in like some kind of mystical land. Like you've got to get through all these like tasks and kind of metaphor poetry quiz things. This is true. Can you guys? Is that what it is?
Does sound wild when you describe it. Like, it's
but
just,
that's what it is.
It was mad.
And there's a mix really of like, and there's a period of time that had to go up on this like high beam, and that was always. And then you had like 7 lives that they were put on the end of a staff, and you would carry your staff around. Basically, the Raven was so cool.
Yeah, it's like Total Wipeout, but for kids and with a lot more literature involved. That was the vibe. But like gothic as well, yeah.
Yeah. It's very serious.
It was actually. It's quite intense for a children's program.
Okay, so then I've got another one. Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Oh yeah, of course.
You think about Stoke-on-Trent.
Was that still going on when you guys were there? Like, do you know how to play bogeys?
Yeah, of course.
Well, we need to, at some point we'll need to see a left wing just getting a bogeys, but bogeys preferably after we've all had a really big drink. I think that actually, they should bring that back. Absolutely. What I would say is, if I was walking in a supermarket and I heard a kid chatting bogeys, make my day.
Yeah, honestly.
Any kids that watch that show would find that funny.
Yeah, I feel like it's nearly into the era where it would begin to become retro to shout bogeys.
Okay, news round.
Another one.
Oh, of course,
But hang on a minute. That was my first news program, but all the news programs were really positive. Same with Blue Peter. It was kind of like news. Yeah. Everything was nice.
Yeah.
And everything was like...
that's what it was like now.
Okay.
I wonder how they cover the contemporary news. Because back when I was watching it, it was like really low level stuff. And like, I think maybe the last time I watched it was right at the beginning of secondary school. And they were talking about austerity and talking about like public services. But that's probably as dark as it got on there. But now I don't know how they cover the news and everything that's going on. They just like omit it.
Okay, so I've got a throwback to my favourite show, which was called 50-50. And I don't think you guys saw this one.
50-50, yes, I do remember. Vaguely.
Yeah, you see, so I knew that obstacle course as well. See, I would have been ready for that. At any stage, if they'd call me up between 5 and 11, I would have nailed that course. Would have nailed it. And then it was like kids from one school and then kids from the other school, and they'd have to battle out. And the guy who introduced it was just out of the coolest voice ever.
Right. Don't question what I'm about to say. I feel like within every friend group, there's somebody who was on a CBBC like game show, right? Yep. And I do think that Ashan gives me that vibe. Like, I do feel like he could have been on a CBBC game show. I don't know why, but he just does. Like, he just seems like that kind of a person. Like, he'd just come out of nowhere and be like, because he's on like darts team and stuff. And I'm like, that is very CBBC game show energy.
Did you ever apply to be on a game show or a CBBC?
I definitely did. I remember applying for lots of game shows with my friend whilst I was at the caravan in a sunny Skeggy one year, but nothing came of it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sean, did you ever apply to be on a CBBC?
Loads. All the time. Like, I always used to do it. I'd be like, Mum, please, 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 please. And then we'd do it online and then I wouldn't hear back. But I did one time get my comment read out on Blue Peter.
Oh.
And, wow, and did you get a badge?
Yeah, Helen Skelton was like,
no.
Crab says that she went in with her pyjamas to school to celebrate Red Nose Day. And I was like, I did, that was me, that was me.
Oh, that's
so cool.
It was great, I was so happy.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I know that I had, sorry, going off topic a little bit here. I know that I had a milkshake, you know, when you could send in the little... like birthday notices things. I had a milkshake notice, which was very cool. But that was that was living for a 3-year-old. Like, that was like, that must be one of my earliest memories. Like, yeah, it's wild. Anyway, there is a point to all this. Sorry, I'm
It was a really good trip down memory lane.
I know. We'll have to have a chat about it after the pod's over, because we are a serious, hard-hitting news podcast. In the news this week, we've had BBC saying that they're going to cut CBBC, and this is in response to the government saying that they're going to defund the BBC. Now, my kind of opinion on DCMS, the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport, got it the first try. My opinion is that it's utterly shambolic, in large part due to the Secretary of State who heads that department, and that things like defunding the BBC, things like privatising Channel 4, not really understanding internet regulation, but being very willing to talk about it, there's kind of a bit of a disparity there, all kind of, for me, amount to a kind of cultural vandalism where the department, in response to populist kind of demands, wanting to stoke a culture war, are just treading on loads of wholesome and good aspects of British culture, which I think is exemplified in CBBC. And yeah, I just want to know what your thoughts are.
So Nadine Dorries and her team, for me, it's in the nicest way possible. They are just like spitting on the working class here, if I'm honest. Because as a little kid, I know I grew up with CBBC, as did millions of other, you know, like young adults, you know, sort of our age now at the time. And it was great. And like my family couldn't afford to have a subscription TV service like sort of Sky or Virgin Media, you know, any of the sort of where you'd get like the different channels, like the American ones and stuff. We had Freeview and that's what we watched. And it was great. And, you know, all those amazing shows. And I grew up, I got good education from some of them. And, you know, it's just, I had a happy childhood, like watching the telly. I know that sounds a bit silly, but it's true because it was good. It was good TV for kids. And I feel like it would be such a shame if the kids of the next generation are robbed of that. Because, yeah, we've got things like Netflix and Disney Plus, but not every family can afford those types of subscription services. And even, you know, if they can, they should be allowed the variety that we had, because I think it's special. And also, I know that someone was arguing that, you know, it's okay because it'll still be available on iPlayer. Well, not everyone's got a smart TV, and what kids want to sit and watch telly like on their parents' phone all the time? No, you have the telly, so you can watch the telly. Like, if we're gonna have a kids' TV channel, let's actually have it on the TV. You know, it just feels like something really, really great is being taken away from a lot of poor kids. If I'm honest with you, kids who come from families that might not have the money or the resources to spend on expensive subscription services and things like that. And I don't think it's fair. Also, it's tearing a massive chunk of what I see to be a little bit of our kind of history from the last sort of 20 years. And I just think it'd be such a shame to see it go. I really do. It's actually hit me like quite a lot in the heart. So yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah, I'm glad that you picked up on the educational value of CBBC as a service. Yeah. And I know that through the early parts of the pandemic, when schools had closed, when people's education was completely uprooted, CBBS and CBBC stepped in to provide quite a comprehensive almost curriculum of what kids should be learning at a primary school or early secondary school age. And, you know, that was representative of CBBC as a public service where everybody had access to it, or most vast majority of the population had access to it. And it continued providing a service where our other public services kind of couldn't. And I think that was really amazing and exemplified the value of these channels as part of the broader BBC package. And I feel like whatever problems there are with the BBC, the answer to those problems is not to completely take it away. You know, you can talk about internal reform and what have you, but to start taking away aspects of the BBC as a public service broadcaster, which, you know, create some amazing documentaries, some amazing children's TV channels, I think that's such a shame and the wrong way to go about dealing with a public broadcaster. Kathleen, do you have anything to say on this subject?
Well, I think you two have summed it up quite eloquently. Up CBBC, down with the government.
And it's such a shame that Nadine Dorries has become such a controversial Secretary of State, because it's a department that generally you don't really hear about. DCMS is quite a low-key department, and because of all of the rubbish coming out of it at the moment, people are very much aware of Nadine Dorries and what she's doing and what she's not doing, what she understands and what she's not up on a brief with. I just want to demonstrate how I think the department's being run at the moment. I feel like it's being run as a kind of publicity exercise, and nothing exemplifies this more than the wonderful Nadine Dorries rap about internet regulation, which if you haven't listened to it, you haven't seen it. Oh, you're missing out. You really are.
I'm now going to watch it. It's on YouTube.
It is. You can just tell that in DCMS has been like, oh, some intern has been like, Nadine, this is a brilliant idea, right? The kids are going to love it. Read this out in rhythmic form. And they stitched together all of these clips and made an internet regulation rap, which is new. It's interesting. Well worth a watch, because this is the kind of thing that the government are spending their time on rather than, you know, legislating.
It changed my life. That's all I have to say.
You know, so what? I would find the humour in it a bit more if the department wasn't being so terribly run by terrible people. Like, if it was a government that I genuinely think was trying its best to promote our culture, then I'd be like, fair enough, hilarious, memeable, whatever you. But it's the fact that they're not taking the role as Secretary of State and as a department seriously. So then this kind of thing just seems a bit flippant, almost. Seems a bit like, you know, we don't care about what we do in this department, and maybe I'm reading into it too much.
Right, so I just watched the TikTok ads.
You've just watched it.
Took a mini break. So first reactions really are, whoever child, grandchild, intern, person shadowing her for a day, kid at school, I don't know who it is, shout out to you, because that's a terrible piece of content that you've inspired her to create there. So well done. I like that they rhymed legislation and the 19th section. That is really good. So a lot of that is not, from a policy perspective, actually true, which I think is another, and also the online safety bill just doesn't go far enough to do anything anyway. And if you find a company that's worth billions of pounds, they're not really that bothered on the whole. So, and Ofcom are not actually regulated or staffed well enough to deal with the internet.
Well, yeah.
So I'm not really...
Well, Ofcom struggles with dealing with newspapers, traditional media that they're very familiar with. Never mind.
I don't think that's
the internet.
I think you'd need a whole other government organisation, really. But yeah, so these MPs on TikTok, I'm just not having it. Like, although what I do is I stitch all of them and tell them like that they're a bit shit. So yeah, no, I like doing that. That's my new one. They say something really positive and then it's like, actually, that's not the truth. And also, you're starving children. Thanks. But I do.
Oh my God, like, I might have... Have you commented on TikTok?
I do like 7-second replies.
I might have seen you.
That's my new thing. Because here were my thoughts, right?
I definitely saw the starving children. If you've put the word starving children underneath a TikTok, I've definitely seen it.
But I'm now stitching them. This is my new thing. So here's my thoughts, right? So I'm going to introduce something to you. If you can be an MP on TikTok, you can be a parliamentary staffer on TikTok. That's what I'm thinking. So I think I'm just going to stitch all of the Tory MP ones and just do like truth bombs.
I feel like if we felt they were doing their jobs properly, or at least taking them seriously, then something like this, a bit of lighthearted fun, would be taken kind of as that, as lighthearted fun.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that they're just so terrible at their jobs. And they're not doing anything radical in terms of, you know, trying to improve the country. In fact, in a lot of cases, they're pushing regressive policies. You know, I can't be in on the joke when they're doing that. Like, I can't find it funny. Maybe I'm just a bore. I don't know.
I don't find it funny, but
no,
I think I'm going to up the ante.
Oh,
I think I'm going to start stitching and replying, and then trying to like desperately trying to just base them would also be pretty fun as well. Like a comment underneath and just wrote, but like, and then I'll just find like the time they voted to starve children. I'll just be like, but remember on this day when you voted to starve kids, bang. And I'll just put that underneath. So you see, I could do this.
I feel like it's the wrong audience as well. I know that conservatives.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's so strange.
I know that conservatives have to eventually convince this generation to vote for them if they have any kind of longevity, but it just seems so disconnected from the kind of people who use the platform. I don't know.
I think
Dr. Luke Evans started it and then everyone else got on board. But I do quite, to be fair to Dr. Luke Evans, it's quite a good content.
I have to give it a look.
It's quite good content. It's quite a good concept. He's definitely like an up-and-coming Cameroonian person. So this episode, I had a ton of fun because we went down memory lane and unlocked some fantastic memories of shows that I watched when I was a kid. And I definitely, at some point, will go back and watch a couple of episodes if I can find them on YouTube. I've got a bit of time over the summer. But for now, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. Thank you for joining us today. And we hope that you had as much fun as we did and it brought back nostalgia that I'm currently feeling.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to this podcast to be notified of when our new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list, the Left Wingers community, which you can join using the link in this episode's description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using the links to our social media, which are also in the description.
Keep whinging about the government destroying our childhoods, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.